All natural. This is all natural. Oh, you got the hoodie on, dude. Hood up. Oh, shit.
The AC in the window, brother.
Oh, shit.
Cold in here.
I got a long sleeve shirt going on. So I don't even want to wear this. But I just got back from meeting with a friend. This guy, Jim McCausland. We actually helped out his family a few years ago, three or four years ago, helped out his whole family and raised some money, and they have a foundation and stuff now in the name of their loved one. And, cause he took his own life. I don't want to say too much, but I'm gonna say McCausland. It's the McCausland Foundation. And they just donated $2,000 to us. So it's fucking so grateful for that. And, you know, we're going to put that into the account and help some people out, you know? So yeah. That's where I just was. That's why I'm late. And Rocco, he can't make it today. He had to take a buddy to an airport and overslept and stuff like that. So he is, which is understandable. He works hard. So, so you and I, we're going to talk today. I would love to, just so that everybody knows, I think everybody does know now, pretty much like that we're unscripted. We kind of not make it up as we go, but, sorry, I just got a text that threw me off, and I don't look at my phone usually when I'm doing this, so it threw me off. But we are very unscripted. We try to get to know the person for who they are. And Ray, I feel like bringing you on right now was and is a great idea. And I would love to actually, you know, make you pretty consistent on here, because you get down with the side of psychology from where it came from, the roots of it, right? From philosophy. And you and I talk a lot with each other about that shit and how important it is. And, it really makes me happy that, you know, we have somebody else who's a straight shooter, you know, will tell you the fucking truth to your face. One of our proudest moments recently was when we got to go together to, speak to a bunch of airmen and women. I would say it was fucking amazing. And recently I used philosophy to tell someone the truth, a Marine, actually, the truth. He went into a panic attack during our retreat. And, you know, we just sat there with him through his panic attack and, you know, supported him like we should as a community, you know, and he got through it. And now he looks at it like a badge of honor. He's like, dude, I fucking made it. I know. Isn't that cool? It's fantastic, dude. That's the shit that we have to do together, is allow people to come to the truth within themselves and in front of others that understand them, you know, and are willing to be with them. So, I know that you're one of those hardcore types like me that's down for that kind of shit and, tough love, if you will. And, it works, man. Especially when it's delivered, I think in a way that is, it's poignant and, with a side of emotional intelligence, if you will, but really just, I don't know. How would you put it? How would you put that kind of communication? How would you describe it?
I mean, tough love is just that, bro. It's tough, right? Like, yeah. There definitely is an emotional intelligence aspect. So you got to really know your audience and who you're talking to, because sometimes it could do more damage than good.
Yeah.
But they also need to understand that, you know, you're going to shine the mirror and you're going to have them look at their own asshole. And
I literally love that.
You know, like you got to see the poopy and realize where you got to wipe a little bit better. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, dude.
If you can't do that, you're just going to take it as an attack of like, oh my God, I don't want to look at this. Like maybe that person's not ready. So,
yeah, you know, I actually,
be delicate.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. Like, are you ready for it or not? And I guess it's like, how are you framing the conversation? Is the person asking for that? And what's great about this guy is he literally was asking for it. He was asking for like, tell me the truth. You know, I actually think I believe I said to him like, yo man, like, do you want the hard truth? Like, cause there's some hard truth that, you know, inside. And he was like, yeah, dude. And like, bring it kind of thing. And it was brought heavy. And man, did he take it well. I'm so fucking serious. I'm so proud of him. He was actually struggling with alcohol and he is now, sober since the retreat. And he has no plans of going back. You know, and dude, that is like, that's the success type shit right there. You know what I mean? Like, he's taken down a bunch of his mementos because he, the things that make him sad, he's keeping stuff up that he's proud of, you know, but he's taking stuff down that makes him sad. And like, you know, remind him, make him think like he's still in when he's not. You know, like that's one of the big things that I said to him. I literally said to him, you need to grow up, you know, like you need to move on and grow up. That hit him pretty hard. But dude, he's growing up. He's owning his shit and he's recognizing where he's got to go from here. So I can't tell him enough how proud of him I am. Like I didn't expect him, by the way, to respond so well to the tough love and also like the logic that was thrown at him in the way that it was, but he did, dude. And it was surprising. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. So enough about others and enough about, you know, the retreats and stuff, and a shout out to, which I can't say thank you enough, to the McCausland Foundation for the $2,000 donation. We will make more announcements about that and posts and stuff, but take us down your journey, bro. I actually really think that your journey is a special one. It's a great story. I know that, I hope you don't get sick of telling it, you know, in different formats, but it's going to happen because I think it is a special one. So go ahead, brother.
So one of the things that has kind of really stuck with me since you and I went to that that Air Force thing was,
yeah,
I didn't really explain the why.
Mm.
Right. So starting with the why and letting these people know of like, hey, dude, like this is why I'm here. This is what I have to say, and this is why it's important. I think that was like a big failure on my part. Right. Cause at one point it was like,
okay,
you know, I got, you could see them. They're like, all right, this is checking the box training. Like, you know, why do we care about this guy's story? All right.
Yeah.
And starting with it is more important. So I'm going to try to do that here. And again,
cool.
Fuck it. We're going to do it live.
Yeah, dude, let's go.
Right. So the why. Why did I feel it necessary to go share my story with the airman at
JBMDL?
Why is it important? Because I didn't have that, right? So when I transitioned out of the military, it was, you know, the check in the box training, you know, you think you have a plan, you think you're ready for it, and then life just punches you in the fucking teeth, right? So the why for me to go there was to have these guys start thinking about that process while they're in, while they have the support network, while, you know, they have their peers with them and they can.
You did say that.
Yeah, but it was a very roundabout thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you did get the second time you spoke, you actually did say that very directly and clearly.
Yeah, which.
You did say that. I got to give you backup.
In terms of public speaking, that was the largest crowd of people I've ever spoken to in my life.
Hell yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's only twice so far.
Yep. But keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, my transition out of the military was brutal. Still kind of is in certain ways. You know, there's a loss of identity. There's trying to, refigure out who you are. Geographically where I live, you know, it's very cutthroat. Nobody cares about who you are. It's just, you know, how can you produce? Everyone's caught in that rat race, right? There's really no sense of community. And it's kind of fucking depressing. But when you see things for what they are, and you can find these little niches of people and, you know, find your tribe and your community of people that you actually care about. And, you know, whatever, that's provided a lot of purpose for me. Kind of started down this route of like trying to help people and like, you know, do the shepherd thing and, you know, it wasn't until I found Project Refit where it all kind of clicked. There was a couple of individuals that I was able to interact with and meet, and I was like, damn, like, you know, there is a lot of similarities here. I do understand where you are. I've been there myself. You know, not comparing, you know, sometimes their situations are worse. My situations were worse. You know, it is what it is. But there was a lot of lessons gleaned from life and, you know, just trying to figure out and reinvent who I am as a person. And I try to share those at every opportunity. So my story, a little chaotic. I'm gonna like kind of skip through it a little bit.
Yeah. It's cool.
You know, very, very chaotic childhood. Unfortunate circumstances all around. I'll leave it at that. Ended up joining the Marine Corps kind of by accident. I walked into a recruiter's office. I asked, you know, the Marine recruiter, I said, hey, man, is, you know, the Marine Corps have an airborne unit? I want to jump out of airplanes. You know, he kind of looked at me like I had a dick coming out of my forehead and was like, no, we don't. I'm like, all right, bro. I'll see you later. I guess I'm going to go join the Army. I want to jump out of airplanes. You know, he did the typical recruiter salesman thing, you know, hey, you know, have a seat, take this, practice as, why do you want to do infantry? Why do you want to jump out of airplanes? He's like, you can do whatever job you want. I'm like, this is what I want to do, bro. Like, I'm either going to do it or I'm going to go join the Army. Like, whatever. So he ended up calling me a couple of hours after our interaction and was like, hey, dude, I could get you a, at the time, I don't know what it is now, but it was a UZ contract. Which basically guaranteed me a spot to go to, or at least try out for BRC, which was, I guess at that time, very rare. And then that ultimately ended up getting abused by recruiters to get people who wanted to be infantry slots. And for some reason, infantry slots weren't available. They'd be like, oh, we can give you this. And then when you get to the recon training company, you can just tell them you quit and then you'll be a grunt. So I think they stopped that for a little bit, but I think it's back, again, I've been out for almost 10 years and who really cares?
Yeah.
So I joined the Marine Corps without even really knowing what the fuck a recon marine was. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks of boot camp, I was just like, this is infuriating. Like, what the fuck did I do? Why did I join this fucking organization? Ridiculous. I ended up being put in a leadership position by my senior drill instructor because he was able to identify. I don't know what it was, right? Like, you're kind of lost in the sauce and you're like going through like all of the mental fucking mind fuck stimulation. I think he was able to see, like, you know, this dude's not able to get tripped up by like the chaos in the background. Let's see how he does in the leadership position. Once I was in that position, I maintained it all the way up to graduation. I ended up getting meritorious promoted as a result. And then leaving boot camp, like, you know, all like fucking, oh yeah, like, let's go, you know. Really weird situation when I graduated boot camp. I was supposed to be put on, you know, the typical 10 days of leave and then 2 weeks of recruiter's assistance. And then go back to California or go to California for the School of Infantry. And then subsequently, at that point, it was MART and then BRC. But just weird shit from the Marine Corps. I ended up getting put back on recruiter's assistance for damn near 2 more months.
Damn.
So by the time I went back to SOI, I pretty much spent as much time fucking off as I did in boot camp. So like all of that was like kind of unlearned and like,
right. Whatever. What's SOI, by the way, for people who don't know?
So that's the School of Infantry. You have it on the West Coast, the East Coast. That's like your trigger puller school. It's where you learn how to, you know, kill bad dudes. Went through MART, you know, a couple of different setbacks in there, injuries and just poor circumstances with weather and flights and shit. Ended up staying there for, probably about 6 or 7 months.
Right.
And then finally was able to start BRC, which was 3 months long. Graduated on time with no setbacks. And then was stationed with 3rd Recon Battalion in Okinawa, Japan. Once I got there, you know, it was like no man's land. The battalion was just getting back from a deployment where they had several people were killed.
Mm.
And seemingly typical at the time in the recon battalions was just like poor leadership. You know, typically from like your, you know, first sergeants and ups, like E8s, E9s, and bad officers that shouldn't have been there and were more worried about their careers.
Careers and medals and such, right?
Yeah, just giving each other awards for basically doing their fucking job and, you know, whatever. So there was really nobody around, you know what I mean? No, none of the senior guys, right? So they were either doing their, like, school phase, they were doing, well, when we got there, they were all on post-deployment leave, and then they showed up and, like, you know, damn near everybody was checked out at that point. It was like, you know, I'm going to PCS to a different unit. I'm going to go get out of the Marine Corps or whatever. So there was no real kind of leadership for us. You were kind of left to our own devices. And, man, trying to remember back like 14 years ago. We got a group of guys that came back from the 31st MU. These were like senior recon Marines. Nobody had combat experience, but you know, they were in the fleet for, you know, a couple of years at that point. That became our kind of our leadership within at least the platoon that I was in. My platoon that I ended up ultimately deploying with. I think I was at the battalion for maybe 6 or 9 months before we were boots on the ground in Afghanistan. And we were definitely the most junior platoon in the battalion on that deployment. I think the only people that, you know, again, I'm trying to remember back from a very long time ago. I think the only people with combat experience were our platoon commander, platoon sergeant, and special equipment NCO. So like our headquarters element, you know, organic to our platoon. And yeah, 26, 27 guys. Damn. Only three of them. I've actually, you know, experienced that before.
Where you hope training really kicks in, right?
Well, there's no such thing. You know, like you're never going to rise to the occasion. You're going to revert to your lowest level of training, fortunately. We did get some good training, but, you know, I found myself a little bit lacking, especially in the first couple of weeks of our combat experience, right? So you're experiencing, you know, the psychological and physiological effects of like massive adrenaline dumps and, you know, things like that.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so it's like stuff that you've never experienced in your life, you know what I mean? It's like, to put it in perspective, it's like a heroin addict doing heroin for the first time, right? Any time after that, it's going to be obviously less intense, but the first time is going to be fucking wild. You know, fortunately, my platoon, you know, nobody died. Nobody, I don't even think anybody was shot, to be honest. You know, I don't think anybody got a Purple Heart, which is cool, right? You know, we certainly were in a lot of firefights, and, you know, it was pretty fucking hectic. But our first real firefight that we had was absolutely fucking insane. So it started out in the morning. My team leader and I were on a rooftop. We were doing a post changeover, so he was coming to relieve me. We ended up taking fire from a sector that wasn't covered by a fucking teammate that was ultimately booted from the team, but that's a separate issue. So basically he wasn't paying attention and left us exposed, and you know, we were getting shot at from behind. That was a quick exchange of gunfire. You know, it was over real quick. We were the first two in the platoon to take contact and, you know, return fire. Pretty exciting. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of hours later in the day where the entire platoon was pinned down in a complex ambush in an irrigation ditch that, you know, there was no maneuvering for us. We were basically just fucking stuck there. And that exchange of gunfire ended with three high-yield explosives being dropped within 50 meters of us. So we had a 500-pound JDAM dropped about 36 meters away from us, and two, like, I don't know, they're either 500 or 675-pound rockets. It's from the HIMARS system. I think the Marine Corps has gotten rid of it, but it was a high-altitude artillery missile that came from, like, 70 kilometers away and just dropped on some dude's forehead. So that set the tone, right? We were like, we're never fucking doing that shit again. So it was kind of like implicit communication where, like, you know, we all kind of like just knew, like, yo, we're never doing that again. Like, let's not. So, you know, we're going to respond as fucking violently as possible. And our team SOP was, you know, we take small arms fire. We're responding with high explosives. All right. So 40 millimeter grenades, wall rockets, shit's blowing the fuck up. And that set the tone, I guess, within the area of operations. Like, yeah, don't fuck with those dudes. Like, they're not normal. It's very, it was like, I'm going to be very careful with the words, but the proportionality was definitely in our favor on the higher side. All right. Which eventually they just were not going to play, which was cool because, like, the last, like, 3.5 months of that deployment were pretty fucking chill.
Amazing how that works, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, kick the fucking hornet's nest. You know, you get stung. You know, once you get stung enough times, you don't want to play anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, actually. You know, they, like, push you, and then you just they push you a little bit, like a little poke, and then it's just like you will punch them in the face with knives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very awesome experience.
What would you say with that mentality? Was that something that you found yourself having to, the poke to punching in face with knives mentality that I just laid out? If you have a better, you know, analogy that you ran with your life, let me know. But did that affect your every day when you came home?
Oh, dude. Yeah. It's like, not everything requires a response up to 11, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're used to responding to, you know, something that's like a 4 or 5, and then, you know, you just bring it right to 11.
Yeah.
You get looked at like a little bit of a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. What was the psychological journey and battle that you still, I know that you still fight, you know, to this day, but what does that look like? Like, what is the mental battle that you go through with responses to a 4 when you want to go to an 11? Like, how are you winning that? At least consistently. I'm not going to say all the time. I doubt it's all the time that you win, but consistently, what has been a thing that's helped you?
I think age. You know, I've been arrested quite a few times for shit that should never have happened.
Yeah.
And that costs time. That costs money. You know, that shit that I need to answer to. It's just not worth it, you know. And I say the age thing. I do still find myself getting fucking pretty angry about certain things, but
yeah,
it's not where it was. It's definitely improved.
Yeah,
but it definitely does have room for improvement. But you know, the age thing of, like, you know, just being too old to have a fucking black eye and be walking around without looking like an absolute asshole.
Yep.
You know, I think that helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I also realizing, like, you know, getting punched in the face fucking hurts. I don't want to keep doing it, you know, especially if I don't have to. Like, if you look back on the situation and you're like, man, I should have never fucking put myself in that situation to begin with. And you know, it's not like, it's not justified. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, I don't want to say there's no honor to it, but, like, it kind of does come down to that a little bit. Like, it wasn't like a, it wasn't a righteous thing, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's I actually think honor is very implicit in what you just said. I think it is actually a almost like respect for yourself type thing, right? Is that kind of like a accountability? I love saying that there's no such thing as demons, you know. It's actually just your choices. And Tanner just posted something up from a page that said something similar to that in one of their, like, memes or whatever. And I was like, fuck, yeah, what the fuck that is? That's it, dude. That's great. But it's because it's the truth. Like, Like, cause it, you know, I had to look at myself in my own life. I'm like, why, what are these demons? You know, why do I feel like shit right now? It's like, oh, it's me. I did this. Yeah, Pip and Squeak.
Yeah. Squeak, squeaking.
Squeak is squeaking. but it's really a, it is a full understanding of how everything that's happening in your life really does come down to you. Like, even your relationships with people and such. I mean, everything, everything. It really does come down to you. It's actually coming down to the decisions that you've made in your life. Everything.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a quote that I found that was like, you know, somebody philosophizing pretty much captures the absolute essence of that. It's like, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's like,
go ahead.
Everything and everyone in your life is a reflection of you becoming your true self or some shit like that.
Okay.
I mean, if I find it, I'll post it somewhere. I'm not going to go out of my way to look for it right now.
You know, that's actually interesting, right? Because let's think about this. Wow. Let's think about this for a second. So, you know, if that's true, and let's think about the Marine that just went to a panic attack the other day and what you just said with the mirror thing, right? Like, you're the life that you want to live, that you genuinely want to live. This guy wanted to be, he wants to be sober. He wants to be healthy. He wants to be productive. He wants to be a better father, a better husband, all those things. And he joins a group that's demanding that of him and tells him the truth of how to get there. And it's grow the fuck up, bro. And that hurts, you know? And, but then again, you have to go through that pain to get to the other side, right? You have to go through that pain. You have to go through the being called out by people that, you know, are the way that you want to be or are close to it or working towards being the person that you want to be too. And it's going to hurt because you're not that right now. And they're telling you you're not. You're not even on the road yet. You know, like you need to take a step over here. Or you're at the beginning of the road and you want to catch up to everybody else. Well, you have to do the same steps, step where we step, you know? I think that's why I like that statement that you just made. And it makes sense to me. It makes a lot of sense. What do you think?
The fucking ADD is going insane right now. Yeah, that's the price of admission to being around people that want your best interests and expect and demand a certain standard from you.
Yeah.
And that's overall, I think, what's lacking with like the society at large is where like there's like no measurable or attainable standards that are set forth, right? It's just like kind of, you know, go through life and live, you know, in this fucking dopamine cycle of, ooh, shiny thing. Mm. Ooh, you know, this is fucking great.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get it. But to some degree, I don't. And we'll just move on from there.
Well, no, I'm thinking about it, right? Because I don't want, I think that statement holds a lot of weight, but like, what is the deeper part of that statement, right? The, where you want to be, where you want to go. Like you're finding that you want to go into philosophy or psychology or something like that to help out, you know, fellow soldiers and warriors and such. Right. And to do that, you have to become better as a person. You have to think deeper and better. And it's like, you're now getting surrounded by people who are also trying to think better and think more clearly and be able to even control their feelings with proper emotions. You know what I mean? Like, because to me, feelings are nothing but action. It's the action of it happening. And the emotion is like being able to define what it is. Like, what is this wave of feelings? How can I take a step back and, you know, begin to name the emotions that are tied to these feelings? You know, like that those kind of things and actions, that is where you're stepping now too, you know? So I think it's relevant to your life as well, that statement. And that's why it resonated with you so well, right? I mean, I'm taking a guess. So do you think that's like maybe why? Like, because it's actually a reflection of you living how you're living now.
Yeah, no, that makes more sense now. But I didn't just land here. You know what I mean? So like that took a lot of internal conversations, a lot of making poor choices, a lot of making better choices.
Yeah.
And then just kind of, you know, one of the things that Project Refit has really helped me with is being able to find that mission, right? Like how do I want to invest myself without really feeling like it's fucking just draining? Like, you know, coming from the construction management industry where, you know, I was working at an organization for 9.5 years and the fucking assholes, you know, are like, oh, dude, yeah, you know, you went back to school and that's great. Like, good for you. You're part time, but yeah, we got to let you go. And we're not even going to give you a fucking severance 2 weeks before Christmas. Right. So like, was that really a purpose or was that just like kind of just fucking surviving? Right. Like to get that perspective at the end of it where it was just like, yeah, later, dude.
There's definitely differences.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not leaving a legacy. You know what I mean? I'm just basically lining the pockets of a fucking multimillionaire and just giving him more millions and, you know, arguably fucking over the quote unquote normal people.
Right. You know, it's interesting, job purpose. No, those words, people, you know, I hear people say all the time, like, oh, we need to get vets jobs, you know, because that's a purpose. I'm like, dude, listen, getting a job is good, but that's to help them with survival, like you just literally said, by the way. That is to help them with survival, but that's not purpose. That's not like a higher self that you're bringing alive, you know?
Yeah, you're not your fucking job.
Yeah, exactly. You're not your job, right? So unless... So I can argue to one side of that arguably I am my job right now. This is a part of my job. However, there's other parts of this doing this shit that I fucking hate. That is a part of my job. So and the other foot, you're right. I am not my job. I am just James Corbett who loves to have conversations like this. I love to, you know, ask deep questions and dig in a little bit. Like I'm going to ask you, you just alluded to something that we kind of got off track with was, what are the mental battles that you are having? You just alluded to some of those thoughts that you had. Like, what's a memorable one that you had with yourself that you got through it and you think you got through it properly and on the other side, right? Like that would be very interesting for people to maybe hear because they might be having the same thing too. But to finish my statement, purpose is not tied to your fucking job. And I think that, you know, getting vets jobs is one thing, but there's a reason why the suicide rate continues to go up, right? There's a bunch of reasons why, but jobs obviously aren't solving the problem, right? So it's what's the community that's around them? What's the purpose that they have? What is their why to their life? You know, are you helping them find that beyond the service? Because so many guys like, yo, I dreamed of being a Marine, let's say. And, you know, I dreamed of being a Marine. I became a Marine. And now what? I'm done. I can't be a Marine anymore. So what the fuck else am I supposed to do? You know, nobody's helping them reframe their purpose. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the other side of that is you're not your fucking job.
Right. You're not you're not just a Marine. That's right. You're right. Yeah. That's it.
You know, like you gotta fucking, you gotta hang God, that I love shit you. You know, go ahead. That was the big, like one of the biggest challenges. Like it took me a while, like, you know, getting out. It's like, oh yeah, cool. You're in your car. Like, oh, good fun. That's great. Cool. You know, whatever. And like on the other side of that is I know people that, you know, they base their entire personality or self-worth around. I was a Marine. You know, like, and that's cool if that works for you, but like, that doesn't work for me. And like, that is literally like the least interesting thing about me.
Yeah.
That's a fucking chapter in a book that, you know, is already fucking, you know, 35 chapters long.
Yep. Yeah. Hang on. I just want to reiterate before you get into your mental battle that you had, the memorable one. I love well, that's on the other side. You're not your fucking job. Like that was such a beautiful tie back. Oh my God, that was great. But I go ahead, man. Tell me about it.
We didn't script this. So, I mean, dude, I have a lot of mental battles with myself.
Yeah.
The one that kind of keeps fucking plaguing me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like imposter syndrome, right? Mm. And maybe it's not, but it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
When things are going good, I don't expect that trajectory to maintain. And I know that everything's fleeting and that like you're riding this wave and like good times, bad times and all that shit. But like, I'll give you an example, right? So I just got this acceptance to college. And like in my mind, I'm like, somebody made a mistake. Like they're going to take this away. You know, I was just on the campus last Thursday.
It's beautiful, right?
And I'm walking around and I'm like, there's no way this is fucking real. Like, I'm gonna walk in a room here and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're Ray? Yeah, sorry, we fucked up. Like, this isn't happening, you know? And that's an extreme example. Like I don't really know that, you know, that's even a reality at this point, right? Like, that might just be me fucking making up crazy shit in my head.
Well, it is, you know.
Yeah, because I truly don't think they can actually take it away, but it's like, you know, that nagging feeling of like, I'm not supposed to be here, I don't belong in this room, that has never seemed to go away.
Yeah.
And there's times where I can overcome that. But then there's other times where like, maybe I don't do shit because of it. So that's one of the biggest battles. But like, the best battle that I've had, dude, was going to Peru and fucking taking ayahuasca and just fucking literally having my mind explode.
Fantastic. Tell me about it.
I mean, I can say unequivocally that I looked down at my brain's asshole, right? And somebody was literally holding that mirror in my face until I acknowledged it and I moved forward. That's when things really started to change for me. And it's not for everybody. And there's a lot of work that I did before that. This wasn't like, oh, this seems like a good idea. This is the easy button. Let me just push this button. You know, there was years and years and years of reading philosophy, years and years and years of just failed relationships, and then analyzing those relationships with perspective and literally like just battling in my own head. And finding answers, and then, you know, once you find another answer, then there's more questions that are asked, and then, you know, you just keep going on this thing of self-improvement, where, I mean, dude, I've hobbies, tattooing, art, graffiti, drawing, photography, fucking 3D printing, software shit. Electrical stuff, like, you know, electrical, like the list goes on, you know, that's part of like how my brain works is like, I'll get, you know, I see something and I'm like, I want to understand how that works. And then I'll get a basic, you know, rudimentary understanding of it and be like, oh, wow. That wasn't that hard. What's next? You know, and I'm not claiming to be a tattoo artist. I'm not claiming to be a really good artist. But once you can understand it on its fundamental level and how it works, right? Like, to me, art is very mechanical. You break it down to its processes and it's just a matter of doing the process right.
Yep.
And there's techniques, right? You know? Going on our fucking tangent, I just lost my train.
What I think is happening here is it's a journey of self-discovery, and for yourself to really understand you want to understand life. And in that, you going down these journeys, finding different things to do, and learning that, well, that's not that difficult. This isn't that difficult. Like, you're actually learning like everything there is to know. You want to know everything there is to know about life. And it's actually really healthy curiosity that you have to continue forward, because it's like, well, I need to know more about me. And for me to understand who I am, I need to understand more about those, this job, that job, or this person, this line of thinking, that line of thinking. Because inside of each of those, you're probably finding a piece of yourself in your brain that you resonate with inside of it, you know? And it's like, that's how, because you know what? That's how I am. That's literally how I am. I picked up speed painting. I've picked up, you know, building things myself, you know, looking into cars, looking into tons of shit, right? And I just wanted to understand why certain things are happening that are happening. And are they really that difficult? Like people talking about, oh, I'm an expert in this. This is my expertise. It's like, but is that difficult? Is that something that like I can't do too? Or like, what kind of expert are you? You know, like, are you an expert that just dedicated time to learning this so that I can pay you to speed up my time? Or is it something that I can't do myself at all? Right. I like to just know, because it's truth. It's actually searching for truth. Like, are you over embellishing and making yourself out to be better than who you are kind of thing? Or like all of that kind of shit, right? Like I really want to know why. I mean, for me personally, why do people feel like consistently that they feel like they're better than others because they have a certain thing that they do, right? That's for me personally. And like, it's just a search for truth, constant truth, you know? And, I'm getting that vibe from you, but I don't know if I'm speaking out of my ass for you right now. I'm trying to get you back on track, maybe with like your thinking, where you were going.
I mean, where I was going with that is that it's been a fucking journey. I haven't been shy. I haven't been shy to try different things, and you know.
Again, yeah.
Back to the original point. You know, I didn't just jump to the ayahuasca as like, you know, this will be a thing.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that I had going on in the background was some legal issues that prevented me from having a passport for a number of years. I'll just leave it at that. Once that was resolved and I was able to get my passport, it was like, yo, travel. Like, where am I going to go? Originally, I was like, you know, I'm going to rent a motorcycle in Egypt and I'm going to go from, you know, Cairo to Giza to Petra, Jordan, and then end up in Israel. And then I started running. Rocco, I would never tattoo you because it would be awful and I would scar you for life.
And then he said this just in case.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. No, we can do that. I got a bunch of random dots everywhere. Just, you know, practicing my depth and stuff.
Go ahead.
You know, once I crunched the numbers on that trip, I was like, no, like, this is just astronomically priced, and I don't have the 3 weeks to a month to commit to it. At some point, I'll do it. But I started looking into more of like what I could do, and you know how I could, you know, maximize my bang for my buck. I've always wanted to go see Machu Picchu. That kind of worked out. And around the same time when I was doing this research, you know, there was a lot of like, I think it was like the Sean Ryan show, and like, you know, it was like the Ibogaine and ayahuasca shit for veterans was like kind of becoming a little bit more talked about. And, you know, that caused me to kind of look into that. I was like, wow, you know, like I'm listening to this person's story and like, you know, shit, like maybe there is some value to this. And I just fucking did it, dude. And I don't regret it. Again, it's not for everybody, but it definitely, it was like a fucking key clicking into a lock. You know what I mean? Like that good click where a whole bunch of shit started making sense. And to a degree, there was like a fog lifted, right? Mm. You know, like I could see things a little bit more clear and like what's actually important, and, you know, helped me with my own internal prioritization and like, you know, what's the best thing for me? What's the best thing for my loved ones? And how do I get there? And then, you know, that created a lot of clarity that's helped with me ending up on this path that I'm on.
What do you think the ayahuasca from your journey, what is one thing that you think you will forever hold? Like what is a thought or a memory that you will forever hold on to that was a positive? Because the negative stuff, I don't even want to talk about the negative shit that you let go of. What is the positive thing that you walked away from?
Oof. All right, so there was two ceremonies that I sat through. The first ceremony was like, without getting too technical or too weird, it was like all of the ego shit died.
Yeah.
And the second ceremony, I will never forget like that whole fucking ceremony. Like the visions, like everything about the smells, like all of it. that's where I was shown, you know, what it would be like if I was able to fix all of the things that I was shown in the previous thing that were kind of holding me back from being my best self. I don't know how else to go deeper into that without getting too into the weeds.
Get into the weeds, dude. Tell me.
So, dude, it was almost like a coronation. Like, that's how it felt, right? Like I felt like it was like, you know, this is what your life could be like. You will be the fucking king of your own world. You know, particular messages, particular people, you know, that have either, you know, they're no longer in my life, or they were, you know, an important part of my life, and I've lost track with them. It was almost like, you know, as I was going down this fucking path, like all these people were coming out, and it was like, you know, some of them were like fucking shocked, right? Some of them were like, you know, super mega proud, like, you know, I know that you could do that. Yeah, but the overall takeaway of the whole experience was like, this is literally what your life could be like at all times if you cut out this fucking shit that we showed you yesterday. And ironically enough, dude, once I started doing that, again, things started self-correcting. All right, certain people that weren't the best people in my life, you know, they push themselves out. I didn't even have to do it. I just had to fucking start doing me. You know, certain situations like the job thing, like, you know, leaving the job and going, you know, going to a part-time role and like still like, you know, pseudo kind of doing my job, but like, you know, school's the priority. I mean, that was cool, but that self-corrected, right? Like the part of the reason was why I realized that I needed to go to school is because that place was so fucking sucking and just terrible. And, I started doing me, and you know, it got me a year of extra income. It helped me, you know, with my path. But once that, you know, ran its course, you know, see you later. You know, we can't do this for you anymore. Right. So like, there is like a level of like kind of being pissed off about the situation and realizing like, you know, wow, that was fucked up. They shouldn't have done it like that. But like, they never really fucking cared in the first place. Like, so.
Yep. So it is what it is at that point. You got to move forward.
Yep.
You ruminate. Did you find yourself when you were younger? Like, did you ruminate on a lot of shit? Did you think over things too deeply or like stay stuck in places?
No,
never.
No, there was too much chaos for that. A lot of years in just fucking straight up survival mode, you know, like, I don't want to say scheming, but like literally always scheming. Like what's the next thing? Like what needs to happen here? Like, cause it was literally just like bad shit, bad shit, bad shit, bad shit, bad shit. Like, you know, things could go bad. How bad could they go? This is the worst case scenario. Okay. It didn't go to the worst case scenario. Like, you know, this is a win, even though it's bad. It could have been worse. But there was, yeah, there wasn't much room for that in my younger years. That came in like 27, 28, where I would kind of ruminate and start like fucking getting stuck on thoughts and shit and overthinking and overanalyzing. And
were you in a more complacent time at that period?
Absolutely, dude.
Amazing how that works, huh?
That's another important thing that I think that we should discuss and deep dive into, right? It's like that. Again, you know, like there's another thing coming to mind here about this or whatever, but basically, like, if your life sucks, but it doesn't suck enough to a certain point that's going to fucking be the catalyst for change, you're literally just going to stay in this fucking stagnant fucking purgatory of like comfortable complacency where, like, you know, oh, well, you know, my basic needs are being met. I have a roof over my head. And like, even though my job fucking sucks and, you know, I want to blow my brains out every time I get in the fucking car and sit in 2.5 hours of traffic, like, it's really not that bad. right? Like that had me stuck for a number of years, dude. Where it was exactly that. And that's, that's when like that depression and like all the other shit really started to fucking hit home. Right. And that's the other thing of why, like, I think the purpose is so fucking important, is because if you don't have a purpose and you're stuck in that comfortable complacency, like, yeah, dude, that's when the fucking the devil comes out to play. And you know, you're going to start fucking looking at things and just going in a fucking dark place.
Yep. I feel like our modern society is built for that. I think it's built for keeping people trapped in that complacency, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Pay no attention to the man behind the fucking curtain.
Right. Like you're, like you said, your basic needs are taken care of. You know, what do you have to complain about? It's almost like society has been built to just, in a way, diminish the concern just naturally, you know, like it's like, hey, this doesn't feel right. We should be out doing more things. We should be out probably growing our own food or having more of a local, you know, feel and community. But no, because you're wrong, because you can go down the street to get your local store and blah, 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 whatever. And it's like the shame is built in almost to the society itself.
Yeah,
it's fucking, it's like, that's what it is.
Brondo, it's got electrolytes. That's what plants crave.
Yeah. Idiocracy, baby. Let's go. Like there's something very powerful about that. And it's sad to see that, you know, and, that people, we seem to forget that we can do more than just, again, you are not your job. You can do more. If you have an idea or you want to make a difference, speak up, you know, like start trying to make that difference. Why are you waiting? You know, you can do it. Like your voice does matter, you know, like that's it.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, that cycle being in that situation of like, you know, not really willing to make a change. You know, it could be for a number of reasons. It could be fucking fear, right? Yeah. Like, and that's kept me in a lot of places. Like, dude, if somebody would have sat me down and be like, bro, you'll be 35 years old and you'll be a fucking starting in the fall semester in 2024 at Columbia University, and it's not going to cost you a fucking dime. It's going to be through your GI Bill. I'd be like, dude, you are smoking fucking crack. Like, what are you talking about? No. No. Oh, but here I am. And that's right. Fucking wild, but I should have been here years ago, right? But
right. You know, it could have been, but it doesn't matter.
Could have been, maybe not should have been. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Several years ago, it probably would have never worked out and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Different story. So to kind of bring that full circle, I mean, you got to do fucking hard things, man. That's a big part of like the transition. And I can think of, you know, a few things in my life that I've done that have been hard that I look back and that like I'm proud on, and like, you know, some of them are hard things that I created that didn't need to be hard things. You know, like you made a poor decision and fucking, you know, you're gonna struggle for the next 6 months because of your fucking poor decision.
Right.
There was a lesson learned in that.
It's amazing how poor decisions and even good decisions can leave you in almost like a state of shambles of pain, but it depends on how you continue to react and move forward through that decision that you made, either good or bad, that will define where you end up. I feel like that the idea and concept of like the good decision, that's also the painful one. I was just talking to our mutual Marine friend that's a part of Refit that needs to do what he needs to do. And just texted me today because I checked up on him and said, he's like, look, I'm scared, but it's necessary, right? Something like that. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And I was like, that's life, dude. That what that statement actually encapsulates is life really is inherently suffering. It's inherently painful, but sometimes, or most of the time, the thing that is necessary is most painful, right? So just do it. Stop avoiding the pain of life. Right? Like you're supposed to feel that, you know, and that means you're living a good life. If you're feeling a lot of that pain of your decisions, right? And it's a positive thing, then keep on feeling that positive pain, because it's going to be a whole hell of a lot worse if you don't, and you're not feeling anything. That's if you're not feeling anything, you're not doing shit. And then that's when you're going to die, because you're supposed to move. You're supposed to feel pain, you know? Oh, God. The idea and concept of pain, I think, has been so negatively manipulated, again, in our modern world. It's a fucking crime. You're supposed to fucking feel. I'm supposed to have all the fucking neck pain in the world right now. I'm supposed to have all the fucking shoulder and the back pain and all the stress pain, all the shit that I have personally, because I'm taking on a heavy fucking burden of doing something heavy and big, right? I chose this. I'm not going to complain about it. The fuck am I supposed to? Why would I complain about that shit? I don't. Why would I bore you with that shit when there's so many more important things to talk about than my own fucking bullshit, you know?
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody fucking cares, dude. Keep moving forward, dude. It's so critical to understand that. Yeah. Okay. Here. I'll give some grace in this one facet. Can I come to you, Ray, and tell you, yo, man, I'm fucking stressed out today? If I come to you and say that, and you think I'm complaining, that's fucking wrong. But if I come to, yo, man, I'm pretty stressed out today, and you respond to me with a, why? What's going on? Like, what do you need to figure out? That's fucking better. I'm not complaining at that point, right? You're not taking it like a complaint. It's more of like, how can we improve the situation? What do you need to do? How can we battle plan it out together, right? There's a difference.
Certainly is.
Yeah, there's a plan. There's a goal. And if there's not, let's figure one out. You know?
Okay. Let's take a couple of seconds here and we'll bring it back. What was the goal that we're talking about? Cause I feel like we're just bouncing around. It's like a fucking ping pong ball inside of it.
I think the goal was just literally talk about all of this kind of shit, like the battles that you have and how you got through them and really just having this kind of conversation. That's actually the goal.
Okay. Sorry. I think you froze.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, cut out for a sec.
Got it. But no, I think we're right on cue, honestly. Like, this is the back and forth that I was hoping would happen. Like, we just talk about different thoughts and, you know, different things that come up and even through your own life of like, and how you've gotten through them. That is really it. Because the whole purpose of this show, FML, for my life, like, how are you for your life? You know, like, what is that moment? And we do always ask that at the end. And I didn't say that in the beginning to you, but. What was the moment that you recognized you were for your life? Since we are coming up on the hour, I do see that. I actually lost track of time.
What would that mean?
Like, what was the moment for your life? So we had a guy that said, the love of tacos. So that could be interpreted in many ways. For me, the moment I recognized I was for my life and I didn't want to die, I wanted to live, right? Not that I was at the point of maybe taking my own life, but the moment I recognized I was for my life was when I found my own voice and that I trusted my own intuition. I trusted my own thoughts and my own beliefs. And I'm not fucking crazy for thinking the way that I do and for being as hardcore as I am. And in fact, I think it's a pretty healthy, you know, way of a healthy outlook of life. Cause I also don't take myself too seriously. Balance, you know, so really trusting myself. So I recognize I was for my life. You know, what was a moment that you recognized you were for your life? Like, was it the ayahuasca journey? Was it a certain thought? Like, what was it when you decided you didn't want to die? Or have you not fucking reached that yet? That's an answer too.
Yeah. I don't think I have an answer for that.
Okay.
I'm not scared to die, right? I'm not going to go. Yeah, I mean, not anymore. So maybe that is the answer to the question. When I got out, I guess from the outside observer, it would appear that I was literally doing everything in my power to make sure that my life ended, short of just actually fucking, you know, blowing my brains out.
Right.
You know, driving crazy with cars, driving crazy with motorcycles, getting into fights. You know, it was like, you know, who's, you know, are you not entertained? You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
we're gonna go fucking as crazy as possible, and like maybe, you know, maybe I'll find the fucking that piece that I'm seemingly searching for. And I think once I had my passport back in hand, and I felt like my ability to travel and everything was like you know, no longer fucking taken away from me or held as like a hostage and like, you know, whatever. That was like 11 years of me fucking battling with fucking state governments, federal governments, and just trying to clear up some bullshit that should never happen in the fucking first place. I think it was that, and that's what led to the ayahuasca trip, and that's what led to, you know, a lot of this like profound,
intense. In your life, profound. That's okay.
Yeah, in intense situations where, you know, I was able to kind of call myself my own bullshit. So I would say, in a roundabout way, probably getting my passport back was what I realized, that like you're not stuck. You know, like there was a very, very intense feeling of just like, well, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. I can't do the shit that I want to do. Like, this fucking sucks. Once that was lifted, I think that things really started to turn around.
Yeah, that's cool. That is a good moment. That is a literal moment. You recognize you were for your life. You could actually go and live your life.
I got court documents framed on my wall.
No shit, really? Oh, that's fucking cool. Yeah. That was a very important moment in your life then. I love that.
Yeah.
One last thing, and then we can wrap it up. Because again, we hit that hour mark, but I feel like this shouldn't be a last conversation that we have. And I really do, the next one that we have, I really want us to continue on the, you call it the ADHD pinball, I think is what you consistently use, right? Or bouncing ball. Yeah. But there's something to be said about rambling around deep thoughts, that, because here's the thing, man. Other people are having similar thoughts that we do, but the thing that you and I both have, and I recognize it's an actual gift that we need to provide to people, is we can actually talk through it in a way that others understand. Both of us have that ability and gift, and we would be remiss if we didn't try to provide that to others. So I say you and I do it again sometime. Bring Rocco back in here. Rocco missed today. It's okay. Had some stuff to happen. He needed some sleep. And, you know, we get on here and we talk through those deep thoughts. We talk through the ruminations of our own deep thoughts, right? Because I think that it will provide value to people to hear our perspectives as well. So think about that.
Say when. I'm your Huckleberry.
Let's do it. Because I really do think that, and I mean like unhinged type shit. Like we can go fucking deep. We could take it wherever we need to take it, you know?
That's what it is, right? It's exactly that. It's going deep, but it's a form of stream of consciousness.
Yes. Right?
It's like literally the fucking brain is just pouring out of my mouth unfiltered.
Yep.
And it gets a little crazy. You know what I mean? I've had some therapists be like, what the fuck are we talking about again? Because you're just zigzagging all over the place. You know, I mean, I get it, right? And I maybe that is a problem, right? Being able to like not really bring it back to like the original thing, and you're just bouncing around. All right. Maybe it's not. Fuck them.
I don't think it is. I think it's a gift. I think what eventually happens is you're going through a complex equation of your own life, and you're eventually going to hit an E=mc² type solution for a deep thought. And that's something that you can provide to the world. I've seen it work. I've done it myself. I've actually been reminded of, like, for example, just stand up. I say that like in jujitsu, it's one of my favorite things. I love jujitsu, did it for years, love wrestling, love baseball, that shit. But in jujitsu, you can actually get out of pretty much any, just stop participating in the sport and just stand up and walk away. Tanner was like, I think that Derek Lewis said that shit a few years ago. And I was like, oh, fuck. He probably, and I looked it up and he did. And I was like, oh, fuck, I probably did get it from him. Like, and I connected his statement to a philosophy for myself, like probably years ago. And the thing about my brain is I don't remember where I get information from. I don't remember, but I know I get it. I just retain information. I can't tell you the source because my brain doesn't give a fuck about your source. If it makes sense, then it makes sense. And I will know it, you know, but, which is why I did terrible on tests. And I'm a terrible test taker is because I know information. I know a lot of information. I just can't tell you who fucking said it from where. But we can do logic all day. So anyway, my point of sharing that with you is your stream of consciousness that you do is philosophy in and of itself of understanding your world, and other people might understand your world too, because they're experiencing something similar. So I think it's important practice that we do it live. And I think it's important practice that we show people that this is normal. This is what a real conversation looks like, you know, like two dudes just bouncing shit off to with each other. And we eventually get to a point where we go, yo, just fucking life is chaos, and life being chaos saved my life. Because I didn't have time to think about all the bad shit. That's something that you shared without sharing, right? I picked you up on saying that, right? You were like, yeah, just it was chaos. I just kept on going. Like, where am I stabbing next? You know? And it's like, what you stab next is literally your surviving, you know? And it's keeping your hands busy, because if you don't keep your hands busy, you'll eat a fucking bullet, you know? And that's how you kept yourself alive. So I think there's value in that. I think other people need to hear those kind of things. So don't be shy, and don't shy away from sharing your truth. And that's why I welcome you to do it here, because I think it's so fucking valuable. And so many guys, especially combat vets, you know, you come from recon Marines. I mean, like that's a high level, that's high speed shit. So I mean, like you did what you did, and I think people understand that and they know that. And they'll listen to that. So, hell yeah. So next time we do this, don't be afraid of getting off topic, because you're not. You're right on topic. You're doing exactly what is expected.
Word.
All right, everybody. Appreciate you all. We will do this again, and we'll make this a consistent thing, maybe a couple times a year. And can't fucking wait to keep on going. See you, everybody.